Blog Talk Radio.
Live from just off the U.S. mainland in the Pacific Ocean, Santa Catalina Island. Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be on the internet and around the world. Welcome to the Christmas edition of Radio Pangea. I am your host, Lauren Cartagena. And wherever you are, whatever you do, just know that we hope that the season happiness does not end just because the Christmas time is over. So no matter what you do, you know, a lot of people have had a very rough year in 2016. So let's hope the kindness and the generosity does not end when this holiday season goes away. Getting to our news today, there's a lot to cover. And we're going to start with a story that is not making much news, but it goes like this. A dissenting opinion by a federal appeals court judge on police use of secret cell phone tracking technology has convinced a Milwaukee man to take his case a step further. Attorneys for Damian Patrick filed a petition this week asking for a rehearing in front of the full U.S. Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals after losing a split decision in November to the court's three-judge panel. It's the first time the use of cell tower simulators, known as stingrays, can be reached a federal appellate court. Stingrays are suitcase-sized devices that imitate a cell phone tower and draw signals from nearby cell phones, not just a targeted number. It allows police to zero in on the phone's location down to a specific apartment in a building. The phones don't have to be in operation, and some versions of the technology can even intercept content like texts and calls or pull information stored on the phones. The case stems from a 2013 incident when a Milwaukee police were looking for Patrick on a violation of probation. When they found him in the car, there was a gun on the floor, and he was charged with being a felon in possession of a firearm. Months later, during a hearing on the motion to suppress the evidence, police revealed that they had found Patrick not based on a tip, as initially stated, but by using records from Sprint, his cell phone service provider. After he entered a conditional guarantee plea of guilty, his lawyers learned police had supplemented the Sprint data with real-time stingray traces. The majority panel ruling in Patrick's appeal concluded that since police had probable cause to arrest Patrick for his probation violation, they didn't need a warrant. And because he was in a public place, he had no right to privacy in his location. Judge Frank Esterbrook wrote, he and Judge Michael Keene agreed that there may be constitutional questions about stingrays, but Patrick's case isn't the right one to explore them. A U.S. House committee report issued said clear guidelines are needed for law enforcement for use of secretive and intrusive cell phone tracking technology. And police and federal agents should be upfront with a judge about their deployment. In other news, California Attorney General Kamala Harris filed new criminal charges of pimping and money laundering against the chief executive and controlling shareholders of website Backpage.com, reviving a case that was dismissed by a judge earlier this month. The new charges against Backpage CEO Carl Ferrer and controlling shareholders Michael Lacey and James Larkin include 26 counts of money laundering and 13 counts of pimping and conspiracy to commit pimping. While the pimping charges appear similar to those filed by the Harris against the trio in October and were later dismissed, the money laundering allegations are new. Backpage, the second largest U.S. online classified ad service after Craigslist, has faced scrutiny from the U.S. Senate, as well as civil lawsuits over allegations that the site facilitates sex trafficking, especially those with minors. Efforts to prosecute the company have been blocked by a federal law that shields website operators from responsibility for content posted by third parties. The complaint filed alleges that the defendants created multiple corporate entities to launder the money and circumvent the refusal of financial institutions to process backpage transactions because of overtly sexual material. It also alleges that the defendants created other websites to increase the company's prostitution-related revenue and develop content for those by using victims' photographs or information without their knowledge. The latest action, like other lawsuits involving Backpage.com, will be closely watched by the technology industry. The federal shield for content liability is considered crucial for web companies ranging from Google and Facebook to eBay and Airbnb. One civil lawsuit against Backpage was filed in 2012 in Washington State, where three young teenagers who alleged that they were raped multiple times after being advertised on the website. The girls, the oldest, who was just 15 years old, sued Backpage for claims including sexual exploitation of children, alleging its postings rules were intended to instruct pimps how to post trafficking ads that evade law enforcement. Backpage argued that it has rules to prevent unlawful posts, and some free speech advocates filed briefs in support of its position. The Washington State Supreme Court disagreed. Earlier this year, however, a similar trafficking case involving children against Backpage in Massachusetts was dismissed by a federal appeals court, which said the free speech principles embodied in the Communications Decency Act were paramount. Harris, a Democrat, was recently elected to the U.S. State Senate and will take office in January. Now, if you're traveling outside, you may look at the sky, or you can listen to us, because snow is on the way. A winter storm and blizzard warnings and watches were in effect from Nevada and Colorado up through the Dakotas and into north Minnesota, as 2 to 15 inches or 5 to 38 centimeters of snow, along with strong gusts of wind, are in the forecast. The blizzard conditions are possible across portions of the northern plains on Christmas Day, where snow along the winds gusts in excess of 60 miles an hour could create hazardous travel conditions, said the National Weather Service. The treacherous weather could hamper plans of some 94 million Americans who are expected to travel in a vehicle over the holiday season. From New Mexico up through northeast Wisconsin, a mix of freezing rain and flurries will cover roadways with an icy glaze and blowing snow. Thunderstorms and strong winds were also expected for northern Texas, central Oklahoma, and southern Kansas and Missouri. The storm will cause problems in northeastern Oregon, and transportation authorities could close Interstate 84 between Baker City and LeGrand. Bad weather was to blame for more than 620 flight cancellations across the United States. In Appleton, Wisconsin, where snow had fallen, a plane carrying the Minnesota Vikings National Football League team slid off the runway. No injuries were reported. Flood watches and warnings were also in effect for parts of the West Coast, including coastal Southern California and Midwest, after heavy rains fell through the night, and temperatures were expected to rise throughout the regions over the weekend. Despite the winter conditions, parts of Missouri, Kentucky, and Tennessee will enjoy unreasonably warm weather. So please be safe if you're out. Moving on to other news. In Maine, voters have made the state the 8th in the United States to legalize the recreational use of marijuana. State officials said following the recounts of the ballot initiative, the measure passed by just 3,995 votes with the support of 381,768 people, Maine Secretary of State Matthew Dunlop said in a statement. That was a slightly narrow margin of victory than the 4,037 votes reported following the November 8 election. The measure now goes to Governor Paul LePage, who has 10 days under Maine law to issue a proclamation of the new results. It would take effect 30 days later, setting the stage for medical marijuana, now recreational marijuana, to become legal for adults over 21 years old beginning late next month. The result makes Maine the second state in the Northeast to legalize recreational marijuana, as voters in nearby Massachusetts approved a similar result last month. Marijuana became legal to use and possess in limited quantities, but not yet to buy in that state last week. Governor LePage, a Republican, said earlier this week during a radio interview that he intended to seek legal advice before signing the proclamation. Since marijuana remains illegal under federal law, President-elect Donald Trump, who takes office in January 20th, has sent mixed signals about his views on the matter. During the campaign, President-elect Trump said that marijuana legalization was best left to the states. His pick for Attorney General, U.S. Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama, has criticized Democratic President Barack Obama's administration for not enforcing the federal ban aggressively enough. An October opinion poll showed that 60% of Americans now support the legalization of recreational use of marijuana. In addition to Maine and Massachusetts, voters in Colorado, Washington, Alaska, Oregon, California, Nevada, and the District of Columbia have legalized recreational use of marijuana. Moving to our Asian news from Asia, starting with Japan. In Tokyo, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe will visit Pearl Harbor with President Barack Obama, even though Prime Minister Shinzo Abe wasn't even born when Japan's former leader, Shigeru Yoshida, went there just 6 years after the country's World War II surrender, by himself and feeling awkward. Yoshida is best remembered for signing the San Francisco Peace Treaty with the U.S. and others in 1951, allowing Japan back into the international society after its war defeat. His Pearl Harbor visit, which will be made on his way home from San Francisco, was largely eclipsed by the historic treaty. In the Philippines, a powerful typhoon spoiled Christmas Day in parts of the Philippines, leaving at least 4 people dead and destroying homes, roared over a congested region near Manila, with slightly weaker but still force winds. Typhoon Noctem cut power to 5 provinces at the height of Christmas celebrations and displaced tens of thousands of villagers and travelers in Asia's largest Catholic nation. The former died after being pinned by a fallen tree in the Quezon province with 3 other villagers, including a couple who were swept by a flash flood. In southeast Manila, typhoon made landfall in Casiguran province. Also in the Philippines put both U.S. and China on notice over a glider incident. After China returned an underwater glider it seized from the U.S. Navy off the coast of the Philippines, the Philippine Defense Secretary said his government would put both Washington and Beijing on notice against what he called their unauthorization presence in the country's 200-mile exclusive economic zone. Thick gray smoke fell over Beijing last week, choking China's capital in a haze that spurred authorities to cancel flights and close some highways in emergency measures to cut down air pollution. Beijing and much of the industrial northern China issued a red alert, the highest level in China's 4-tiered pollution warning system. China has now faced some of the worst air pollution in the world, blamed on its reliance of coal for energy and factory production, as well as a surplus of older, less efficient cars on the road. In Beijing, China's first aircraft carrier had set off for the Western Pacific for an open-sea training exercise, the defense minister said. State media said that it is the first time that the Liaoning, which was commissioned by the Chinese Navy in 2012, has headed to quote-unquote distant sea waters. The western region stretches from China to New Zealand and encompasses countries in the Pacific, Oceania, and parts of Asia. In Sri Lanka, Sri Lanka unveiled a towering Christmas tree, claiming to have surpassed the world record despite construction delays and a shorter-than-planned finished product. The 73-meter or 238-foot-tall artificial tree in the capital is 18 meters or 59 feet taller than the current record holder. The tree's steel and wire frame is covered with a plastic net decorated with more than 1 million natural pine cones, painted red, gold, green, and silver, 600,000 LED bulbs, and topped by a 6-meter, 20-foot-tall shining star. The tree cost $80,000 and was criticized as a waste of money. In New Delhi, a woman and a teenager believed to be linked to the banned Islamic militant group blew themselves up during a police raid in a two-story house outside the Bangladesh capital. The woman died after detonating explosives attached to her body during the raid. Also, a seven-year-old girl sustained splinter injuries when the woman blew herself up and was being treated at a hospital in Dhaka. In Afghanistan, an Afghan official says that at least 2 Afghan civilians were killed by a roadside bomb in the Langam province. No group has claimed responsibility for the attack this far, and this far being 15 years of U.S. occupation. People are still getting blown up left and right in that country with no hope of it ending anytime soon. Not just me saying it. History has proven that to be so. You're listening to Radio Pangea. We're going to take a quick timeout, quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Deutsche Bank and the trouble that they're in. And we're also going to talk about George Michael, the singer, who passed away today. You're listening to Radio Pangea. We will have a lot more when we return.
cornfields enough to grow. There are sunbeams and moonbeams enough to shine. Oh, listen, Lord, if you ought to know what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, oh, but just one
And we are back with Radio Pangea again on the special Christmas edition. Want to say Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. You know, it doesn't matter what you do. You know, as long as you have the spirit of togetherness, family, and putting others before you and your needs, that is really what the holiday spirit is. And it doesn't matter what your religion is. I think that gets lost sometimes at this time of year. Especially when a lot of people go through a lot. 2016 was not easy for many people. And if you like what you hear, please join us, youtube.com/Pangea Foundation. That's spelled P-A-N-G-A-E-A Foundation. Or email us, Pangea Foundation, all one word, PangeaFoundation@gmail.com. Really like to hear your comments, thoughts, and what you think of the show. Getting to our financial news for the day, Deutsche Bank must pay $7.2 million in fines. The sum, which needs final approval, is far lower than the $14 billion the U.S. had asked the bank to pay in September. That looming fine had caused concerns that a failure of the bank could pose a risk to the global financial systems. Credit Suisse, who announced a similar deal, while Barclays is now under investigation too. The sale of residential mortgage-backed securities played a significant role in the 2008 financial crisis. Several banks in the U.S. have been subject to investigations over allegations of giving mortgages to unqualified borrowers, then repackaging those loans as safe investments and selling the risk onto others. The inquiries related to the deal done between 2005 and 2007. Meanwhile, Credit Suisse has said it has agreed on a $5.28 billion deal to settle its own disputes with U.S. authorities over mortgage-backed securities. The Swiss bank will pay authorities $2.5 billion and will also give consumers $2.8 billion in compensation over the next 5 years. At the same time, the U.S. Department of Justice has said it is now using Barclays for alleged mortgage securities fraud. It alleged that from 2005 to 2007, Barclays repeatedly misrepresented the characteristics of the loans backing securities they sold to investors throughout the world, who incurred billions of dollars of losses. The Department of Justice opening gambit was a $14 billion resolution, but it's also fair to say that that was never realistically going to happen, since Deutsche Bank was expecting to pay in the region of $5 billion based on penalties doled out by other banks, which also allegedly missold mortgage-based investments. But only $3.1 billion of the $7.2 billion will actually be made in hard cash. The rest is made up of consumer relief, changes with loans, and other help from borrowers, which can be spread out over a number of years. Deutsche Bank, which operates in 70 countries with 100,000 employees, but shedded about 50% of its workforce of depositing its retail bank and post bank and pulling out of other countries. It has assets of just short of $1.6 trillion, with a T, trillion dollars. Under the settlement, Deutsche Bank's payment will be made up of other civil penalties of $3.1 billion and $4.1 billion. Other banks have been ordered to pay fines by the U.S. Department of Justice, include Citibank, which says a $12 billion penalty has been reduced to just $7 billion, and in 2013, J.P. Morgan Chase was fined $13 billion following allegations that it overstated the quality of mortgages being sold to investors. In the following year, Bank of America paid $16.7 billion to settle similar charges, and not last but not least, Goldman Sachs settled for a $5.1 billion settlement in January of this year. Well, getting on to our entertainment story, and our last story of the day. George Michael, who rocketed his stardom with Wham! And went on to enjoy a long and celebrated solo career lined with controversies, has died. He enjoyed immense popularity in his career as a teeny bopper idol, delivering a series of hits such as Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, Young Guns, Go For It, and Freedom. As a solo artist, he developed into a more serious singer and songwriter. He sold well over 100 million albums globally, earned numerous Grammy and American awards, and recorded duets with legends like Aretha Franklin, Ray Charles, Luciano Pavarotti, and Elton John. Throughout his career, his drug use and taste for risky sex brought him into frequent brushes with the law, most famously in 1998 when he was arrested for public lewdness in Los Angeles. Yet, he managed to turn the incident into fodder for a popular song that poked fun at his behavior. At the acknowledgement of his homosexuality at the time made him even more popular with his fans. He started his solo career shortly after Wham! Split. Critics generally viewed his Wham! Songs as catchy but disposable pop and gave his solo efforts far higher marks. His first solo album, 1987, Faith, sold 20 million copies and included the hit I Want Your Sex. The song was controversial not only because of its epic nature, but also because it was seen as encouraging casual sex and promiscuity at a time when AIDS was a epidemic and deepening. However, at the time, George Michaels had not disclosed his homosexuality, and much of his chart success was based on sex appeal to younger women, interestingly enough. Michaels was also an admitted user of marijuana and prescription sedatives, and several times was found slumped over his car using both at the same time. His driver's license had been revoked in 2010 and 2011 at a conference. He said that he had felt he let young people down and gave the public fodder to further disparage homosexuality. But he said he would attempt to improve. A rich, soulful instrument is capable of serious emotional heart, expertly matched the confessional tone of his own material. Rest in peace, George Michael. And with that, now you know the news. Thank you again for listening to Radio Pangea. We hope that we'll catch you again on another show. Until then, please, as always, think for yourself.